Good morning. It's the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. We continue our journey through Exodus. Can you imagine? It's almost like 40 years in the wilderness, isn't it? Mark Hawkinson is smiling at me right now, nodding his head.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to preach?
Kind of like life. You know, life is a wilderness.
Yeah. Can you imagine having to preach all the way through Exodus, start to finish?
Yeah.
Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's an entire year.
Yeah. Do it, wouldn't it?
An entire year in Exodus. And we're just spending a month and a half.
Now you're doing a good job of it, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest today. You know him from Moments of Assurance, heard every day here at noon, right after the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study.
That's right.
My wife's favorite program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And you can tell her I have a new recipe for tomato soup.
You do. She will be fascinated to know what that is. You want to share it with the listeners now?
I don't have it perfected yet. I will be sharing it on Moments of Assurance, and I'm playing with it.
You know, you are.
I'm fooling around with it, but it's not perfected.
Excellent. Well, folks will have to listen, and you know, that'll be that'll be sort of like getting the box of cereal with a prize inside.
That's right. The temperature is very critical in the whole thing. So if you get the temperature wrong.
I think breakfast cereal is what taught me to have a lack of patience.
Oh, really?
Well, because, buy it, and the prize is always down at the bottom.
Right. I know.
And you don't want to eat your way down to it. You want to get your arm all the way and dig down.
Did you have Kix as a child?
Of course.
Yeah, and,
But Trix, I think, was my favorite.
Oh, Trix.
The sugar
version. Was it Kix or Trix? There was a Kix.
You know, mother's favorite because it had no sugar in it. Yeah. I like the sugary stuff with red dye number 2.
Oh, boy.
And all that stuff that was bad for you.
You have a better memory than I do. I don't recall number 2.
That's what red dye number 2 will do to you.
All right.
It just makes you, it turns you into a repository of useless knowledge.
Yeah.
Whatever. How have you been, my friend? You look very good, fit and frisky.
Yeah. Well, just working hard and enjoying another day of life. And I've had some health issues here in the last year, and went to the doctor yesterday, and I go every month to get tested every month, and another clean bill.
Clean bill of health, thanks be to God.
Ah, another 30 days, but who knows? maybe 30 minutes, maybe 30 moments, who knows?
Yeah,
being ready is something that God gets you.
Does that change your presence of mind about what's going on around you?
It does. It makes you appreciate everything that's going on around you. I came out of the house this morning to go to the car, and these birds were melodiously, expositizing their whatever. They were singing.
Expositizing. And,
That's what they do to your windshield,
that's
Mark. Right.
They expositize on your windshield.
Yes, I spent some time removing the evidence of that this morning as well. So, it's been one of those mornings, a little bit of everything, some good, some bad, mostly good, and a lot of blessings from God, especially knowing that I'm going to heaven, and it isn't anything that I have contributed toward, because if it were, there would be no chance.
Have you noticed that much of the lessons coming out of Exodus are like going to the doctor, especially when you have a health problem? Because you're not in control anymore. It's all what the doctor does and all what the doctor prescribes. And you get to a point, don't you, where you kind of, what about me? I want to say in this. And the doctor says, but I know better.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look at the individuals involved in craftsmanship here in the text and in chapter 31, it says that they were endowed with the Spirit of God. Not only did they have... They had some of their own natural abilities in their craftsmanship, but it was spiritualized. In other words, they had a measure of God's Spirit to add to it, and wisdom and knowledge, so that only the best.
So
spare
this,
no expense.
Now, help me with the pronunciation here: Bezaleel and Oholiab.
Yeah, that's close enough. Close enough. Yeah.
B and O is how we'll refer to them as we go through this today. B and O, so I don't embarrass myself further.
That's pretty good.
It says that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. But is that some kind of mind control? I mean, what is being filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that when you become a zombie for God?
I think it happens for the Christian in their baptism, of course, when the Holy Spirit enters the life of an infant or as an adult. As a pastor, I had numerous adult instruction classes, and, about midway through, somebody would come to me and say, "Hey, you know what? I believe this stuff." "You do? Yes,
wow,
I believe it."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, what's to prevent you from being baptized?" So then they would believe first and then be baptized. But then, of course, in infant baptism, you're baptized first. Either way, you get what you're talking about, the Holy Spirit, fullness of it.
Before we pray, just one other question on that. Are there different types of being filled with the Holy Spirit?
Well, there are different. I think I heard a pastor, who was it, yesterday, or the pastor on Ask the Pastor, one of the two pastors talked about charismata, the gift of the Spirit. And there are different measures of the Spirit that are given. Some are called to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, some lay people, and the variety of gifts, but the same Spirit.
That may have been Lukumsky yesterday.
It wasn't yesterday. It was the day before
David
yesterday.
Boyce-Claire.
No, the one after him. Was it
Victor Belton?
That's it.
That's who
Dr.
it was.
Victor Belton.
Victor Belton.
And I'll tell you, I really just happened to be on the road I believe it was Monday, and I really appreciated the way you all, both of you, interacted with one another. And you did a wonderful job, and of course he did too. And I consider him to be kind of a model pastor, and there are many model pastors here on the Bible study. They're all good. And it's just that Victor Belton.
We are blessed.
Victor Belton just kind of, I can identify with him for some reason. He's just a very good and a very humble individual. So enjoyed it.
Well, the reason I ask about different types of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because when John is filled with the Holy Spirit, he sees all kinds of strange things in Revelation.
Oh, yes.
Is that the same
right,
kind
on
of
the island of Patmos?
Yeah, caught up in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit.
Let's say that he was given a special measure of revelation in order to be able to do that. I can't claim that. I don't have that sort of visionary ability to be able to write down that sort of apocalyptic type literature, visionary, as you say. And, you know, John says in Revelation, I was in the Spirit.
I was in the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, he was. And when you read Revelation, your appetite is whetted for heaven, I believe. You can't wait. This is just an hors d'oeuvre. An hors d'oeuvre of eternity. That's what you get when you read the book of Revelation and other sections of Scripture as well.
Let's pray, and then we'll begin our text.
Gracious God, the tabernacle that you had made has such exacting measurements. And one can tell as one reads the Scripture that no expense was spared in the construction, and that the best architects and craftsmen were used. Heavenly Father, help me and help each listener and Roland and the others here at KFUO to continue to give the very best of what we have, responding to the fact that you gave us the very best of what you have in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. Our assignment today is Exodus chapter 31, which, unlike the other chapters, is a relatively short one.
It is.
You drew the short straw, I guess.
I guess I did. But there's some things to talk about here.
There are.
We'll talk about it. Yeah.
We'll have to find this. We'll have to talk about O and B, as I said, as we go through this. Beginning at verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahismach, from the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Well, these spiritual gifts, I mean, this is really a topic of discussion today about what is or is not a spiritual gift. Are these specific talents that have not previously existed in these men? They woke up one morning and went, "Shazam, I can work gold."
That word Shazam, I guess that comes from a favorite sitcom television.
Comic books.
Gomer Pyle.
Dating my, well, that too. That
too. But
I think that was Golly, but that's a different story.
All right. But I think what's involved here is, yes, they have natural abilities, just like you do, in particular talents that you have, Roland, and that other individuals have. However, in this case, the Lord, the Spirit of God, came upon these men in a supernatural manner and endowed them with extra, I just look at it this way, extra wisdom and additional understanding and knowledge and talent, so that what they already had, which was a good talent, was given to them by God, some extra grace for them to be able to perform their task in abundance for the glory of God. Just an extra measure of the Lord's Spirit, if you will, for the tasks at hand. And, there's no other way that I know of that we can really describe that, except that only the best for God. Spare no expense for the Almighty here.
Something that has come up time and time again as we've gone through Exodus is this theme that what God demands, God provides. Mm-hmm. So if God demands the finest craftsmanship, he provides the best craftsmen.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's what we have here in the grandson of Hur, and we think that Hur is the one who helped Aaron in holding up Moses' hands and in the battle with Amalek, with the Amalekites. And that kind of identifies who this Hur was. And so Bezalel, being the grandson, nobody knows why. Why was Moses chosen?
I could have made a better pick. Hawkinson.
For heaven's sakes, no.
You sound like Moses.
I don't want to sound negative. I mean, if the Lord wanted me to do something and I knew it for sure, I would surely do it. But Moses himself confessed. He said, God, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Mm. But, when everything is cut to the chase here, you see that Moses is able to execute his task that God has him to do and does it well.
But when God gives these special gifts, some might call them talents, and they're of a spiritual nature, what purpose are they supposed to serve?
Well, it's all glory to God.
Yeah, but what
anything
does that mean?
That does.
I mean, just because I can throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, does that mean I'm doing it to the glory of God?
Well, it could mean that, yes. Uh-huh. I mean, if anybody, regardless of their vocation, Martin Luther talks a lot about vocation, and that as a gift from God, and your vocation is a gift from God, and to be able to use what he's given you and draw from God's Spirit, which is in the gospel message in his holy word, is to be able to give God the best. And that's what these gentlemen were doing here. They didn't have the Bible in front of them like we do, but the Lord himself saying to Moses, I have called by name. Notice that. I've called by name. That's pretty exciting. God calls me by name, I'm going to say, what do you want me to do? I'm going to do it. There's no question about it.
You have left me flummoxed here. Because
Flummoxed.
As I scan through the text here of chapter,
dictionary here.
I don't see the word vocation anywhere in the text that I read. So Exodus 31 is about vocation and what it means to be called to a purpose.
That's right.
Oh, get out of here! Really?
I absolutely believe that that's true, especially since God is the one who has called these gentlemen into, and they're from the tribe of Judah. Isn't that interesting? Tribe of Judah. Jesus comes out of the tribe of Judah.
Well, it's Judah, the other fellow is from.
Well, Dan, it was a Danite. Yeah,
Danite,
it was. Yeah, that's right. And Holyab, the son of Ahishamach, he was the of the tribe of Dan. But anyway, this only the best for giving God back what is rightly His in the first place, and it's all about worship.
And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. Does everybody have one of these God-given talents or gifts?
Let each one use the gift. It's implied in Corinthians, that each one has a gift that they can give back to God, which, you know, it's rightly his gift that he really, it's a paradox, Roland. God gives you various gifts, but they're really his gifts that he's given to you on loan. So he's giving you his gifts on loan for use back for his purpose to and for his glory. All right.
So you mean that guy, that other guy on the radio, not on KFUO, who says talent on loan from God has got it right?
Oh, what guy would that be?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to mention names, but what he says is talent on loan from God. I think that's what you're saying.
Oh, that's right. That is what I'm saying.
So everything.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Now, what if I don't have a talent? What if I'm just
but
sort of
each one has one.
Oh,
Scripture says that each one has one. You've got one. You've got more than one. You may have many talents. I think you have many.
Really?
Sure, of course.
Would you make a list? Because I'm having a hard time identifying.
See me after the show.
Well, but that's, now, today, this is where a lot of the under 30 crowd is. You know, especially the 20-somethings are sort of navel-gazing, going, well, what is my purpose in the church?
Sure.
What am I called to do? As if you have to be one of these men who is called to be a craftsman on the tabernacle, on the temple.
Let me tell you something. When you're in your 20s, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. You don't always know what your gifts are when you're that young. The first parish call I took was to East Tennessee. And I got up there and I met with the elders, and the first thing they said to me is, they said, we don't know you yet, and you don't know yourself. I said, excuse me?
Really?
They said, that's right. You don't know for sure what gifts God has given you. That will show itself in time. And hopefully it did, and so that's true. But when you're in your 20s, you just don't always know exactly what gifts you have. It takes time to develop them. It takes time to understand them, etc.
Why, Pastor Hawkinson, why do some get more than others?
Well, that to accomplish the Lord's will, the God has chosen different people for unique purposes. For example, why are some pastors endowed with the ability to have huge ministries with 6,000 or 7,000 members, and other pastors do what I did for about a decade, started new missions, which to me is absolutely thrilling and exciting to start a new mission from scratch or with the help of the district. In my case, I had the help of the Southern Illinois District, Mid-South District, and it was just a huge, huge joy to be able to do that. So,
well, if I get a talent, whatever it may be, throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball,
I'd like to see that.
Believe me, so would I. Because I'll do it just once. They'll be replacing my shoulder. But should I be proud of this? Should I be boasting in the Lord that I've got this talent?
No. You should use it to and for the glory of God. Let others do the boasting. And you boast about God. The Apostle Paul always said, not I, but Christ. He was always saying that. That was his theme. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. So he was never exalting himself. He was always exalting Jesus Christ. Because any gift that you have, Roland, is not yours anyway. It's really God's. He's given it to you on loan.
You have done this a number of times in the pastoral ministry, but one of the critical responsibilities of any pastor is to visit the shut-ins and to visit the sick and to visit the dying. And I'm sure you've heard more than once someone who was at a point in life where they felt unproductive and useless and just wanted to go home, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Because I serve no purpose here. I have no talent. Yes. And, you know, culture is falling in line with them right now, saying, you know what, you don't have any purpose here. Because you're
old, like that.
Or you're frail, or you're mentally challenged, or whatever. But even someone who is, let's just take the most extreme example. Even an anencephalic child who has virtually no perception of what may be around them has some God-given talent?
They probably do. Even a person who, for example, I'll take my mother. My mother died at 89 a couple of years ago, and she said to me, I just want to die and go home to heaven. And she didn't see any purpose left for her.
Right.
When you don't see any purpose left in your life, you can always pray for other people. Then you have a purpose. Praying, brethren, encourage one another. And that you can encourage. I have been encouraged in my faith when I make a shut-in call, I get more encouraged than I think the shut-in gets from me. I get more benefit. Their faith shines forth, and it is so very, very encouraging.
But this part of this, and I wanted to, again, because there's so much confusion about what it means to be a Christian today, and, you know, is it works or not works? When you look at this, you see that what these two men, that O and B, are going to be doing is very active. They're performing a task. They are doing something. But can a talent be something where you simply receive, like you receive care, and you enable somebody else's talents to be expressed?
Well, if you enable somebody else's, then you're using the talent right there. You're an enabler.
In the good sense.
In a good sense. Absolutely. But you know, you look at this chapter 31 here, and you see all these details and the curtains and all the minutia that these men had to work with, and some in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, carving wood, all these different things. Only the best. Oholiab and the other gentleman. Bezalel.
These are not easy names. I'm sorry.
I just say the other. I had to cough at the moment. I was trying to say that. No, I was going to say Bezalel. And just the detail. God is a detail God. And he demands the best, and he gets the best simply because of his identity. And being able to, just all the things that the basin where you had to wash, you know, before you could go into the a holy place or the most holy place, and the garments as separation between man and God, the holiness, representing the holiness. And you know that phrase, holy to the Lord. You know, you talked about that the other day.
Yes, yes.
And everything that you say and do should really be just that. Holy, it means set apart. Set apart for God. Whatever you do, St. Paul said, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. May it be holy to the Lord. Yet everything I do isn't, and that's because of sin. Fortunately, Jesus Christ came in and removed the sin and gave me and you and each listener the power to rise above it and give the glory to God anyway.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Mark Hawkinson from Moments of Assurance. He's the host of that program here weekdays at noon on KFUO Radio. When is it on the weekends again?
It's 9:15 a.m. on Sunday.
On Sunday morning.
That's just the shortened version. It's 15 minutes. What I try to do is just capsulize some thoughts and encouragement and with some Christ-centered music that will be kind of a booster and help you on a Sunday
morning.
Get you
on your way to church in the morning.
Right, exactly.
Just, you know, if you fast forward for a moment, we've got about a minute or so before we have to go to the break. If you go to Ephesians 4, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now that really is ultimately the purpose of these gifts, is building up the body. Can you look at the tabernacle? Can you look at Israel as being the body of Christ? I mean, Christ has not come yet, but
no,
in
he
essence,
hasn't.
Are they
no, yes.
the body of Christ?
They are. They certainly are the Christ that is to come. Their faith was in the promise, in the covenant relationship. God had made a divine covenant with them. For example, looking at Genesis 49:10, which says, "A scepter shall not depart from Judah." Well, out of the tribe of Judah came Jesus. That covenant relationship started out with Genesis 3:15, with the serpent and how Jesus would crush the head of the serpent, and that the promise that this would take place. And indeed it did on the cross of Calvary. So all of this is part of the covenant. You and I are in the covenant by means of Jesus Christ, and the Old Testament Israelites by means of the promise of the Christ to come.
Is there a link between what's talked about here as being God filling, or in the Spirit filling these men, and what we talk about as fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah, well, I think that the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the filling.
Ah.
How about that?
We may have to explore that.
Put that
for
in
a
your hopper and think about it over the break.
Well, that would be a good, unless you were busy dialing the phone to
there
get
you go.
Into the Bible.
I hope it's a touch tone phone. Maybe.
You're dating yourself. Wow. If it's made of Bakelite, you're really old.
That's right. Yeah.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest. We'll be right back.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
Hi, this is Rod Zwanitzer, your host for a brand new show, Book Talk, here on Worldwide KFUO, weekdays from 2:30 to 3 o'clock. We'll talk with the authors of some of the best books in Christianity, newly released books, old books, classic books, everything books. Join us for Book Talk, beginning Monday, July 9th at 2:30 p.m., here on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m., and streaming at kfuo.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance and Jubilation, inviting you to have a KFUO Sunday at your church. I'd be happy to preach the message for the day and share all about our KFUO ministry during the Bible class hour. You'll hear excerpts of all our programs, and also you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions you might have. So why not schedule a KFUO Sunday today? Just call Joni at 800-844-0524. Get yours on the schedule today.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Well, many hymnals and prayer books have the words of the Psalms in them. Not many of these books include in them what are called the Songs of Lament. These were written primarily by King David when he looks back with sadness in an event in his life. The first of the Psalms, labeled as coming from the pen of David, includes this notation, when he fled from Absalom, his son. Of all the sad days in King David's life, this certainly had to be the saddest. It came years after he had committed the most infamous sin in Israel's history, the king's adultery with the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and the arrangement of Uriah's death by the hands of the Ammonites. One of David's own sons, then, arose to depose his father from Israel's throne. As the son Absalom's fighting men approached Jerusalem, the king left the city. The Bible's second book of Samuel tells us, "But David went up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went barefoot with his head covered. And all the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up weeping as they went." We have in Psalm 3 what David wrote, probably that very night. "O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shelter about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God, for you strike all of my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked." Sounds like violent words, but it was a violent moment. Lord, help us to listen to the prayer of your servant David today, because he is teaching us how you go about avenging the wicked. And teach us, dear Lord, that the wicked who repent are still your children. For we pray in the name of Jesus our Savior, who has brought us back again from the curse of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance right here on KFUO Radio, is our guest this morning. We're in Exodus chapter 31. We've made it halfway through the text. And as we went to the break, you made an interesting point, Mark. This is why we should just do away with all breaks. We should just go 24-7 continuous
Live streaming.
All that stuff.
Bible study streaming.
Bible study streaming. We'll never take a break. We'll stay awake.
That's right. That's right. We're not human. We're just,
But you brought up the issue of stewardship, and I guess that's what I was dancing around asking these questions about how we use these gifts and what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And you talk about, look at the beauty of this tabernacle. Look at how fine God wants this place to be, to represent, I guess, what?
Well, you know, got gold, silver, bronze, only the best.
Fine wood.
Yes.
And
go ahead. Yeah.
But you were talking about it in terms of stewardship, that when we come and when you build, for example, a building committee gets together for a congregation.
Right.
And you start talking about an addition or a new church building or something like this. How do you determine how much of the best you bring to that construction? And is there maybe a cross purpose in doing that? The example I threw at you was, really, should any church be building a grand cathedral somewhere when there are poor people languishing in the streets?
Well, that is a good question. And
what does it mean to offer up your best for God, I guess, is the question.
Well, that is a very good question. And each congregation has to get together. They'll formulate, the elders will appoint, along with the pastor, a building committee. And they'll sit down and talk about, with the guidance of the pastor and the elders, what's our goal? What is our goal here? What's our mission statement? Your congregation probably has a mission statement.
We do.
Yeah. And the building should reflect it. You know, what you build should look like your mission statement. And there will always be poor people out there in the street. You should have ways to humanitarily, assist people who are in need, certainly. That's part of Jesus did it. He was very much involved with that in helping the poor, and that is very, very important. So how does that all translate into chapter 31, where the very best of craftsmanship and artistic designs and carving wood and all this?
Okay,
I'll throw your
question back at you here.
All right.
Based upon the construction of the tabernacle and all the appliances and all the improvements around it, what is God's mission statement?
God's mission statement will always be doing everything possible to attract others to a position where they can hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And if that attraction means having a building that is rather expensive, then so be it. That may be what works in a certain setting. It depends on the setting. It depends on the location, the type of people, a lot of things. If you look in the greater St. Louis area, my goodness, there are different neighborhoods and churches that are different, that fit in with the neighborhoods. And West County of St. Louis is going to be different than South County, and for various reasons.
Sure.
It's just ethnicity. It's background that's involved, tradition. All of that's involved. My feeling is, this is what I think. This is my opinion. I think that you look at your mission statement. You want to do everything that you can to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. That's what the church is all about. And any way that the building can assist in helping to execute, helping to get out that mission, then do it, but do it in a way that there's money left over to help the poor, for example, and other ministries and missions, so that you're not, making the people so poor that the members themselves and giving to this church that there's nothing left for anything else or anybody else.
Is it part of the attraction that you're talking about, that message, that there is no place, no building, no thing, no one anywhere else on earth just like this? I am the God.
Well, that he is. And what you're doing is you're giving back to him what he's first given to you, salvation. And you're giving everything you do and say is a fruit of the gift of salvation. So you're giving him all the glory, and hopefully the building that you're putting together will reflect it.
The building follows along. Let's go to the phones real quick and see what Larry has to add to the conversation. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Hawkinson. Isn't that correct?
Yes, right. Yes. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Couple comments. You talked earlier a little bit about God's perfection with the silver and the gold and all the elements that he used. You know, if when you wake up in the morning, Pastor, and you look at your righteousness meter, it reads zero.
You're absolutely right.
But if you look at your righteousness meter with Christ, it reads 100%. So if you look at God's plan of perfection, he requires, in order to get into his heaven, not our heaven, his heaven, that he prepared for us, his plan is that we would have to work. We'd have to be worker bees to work our way to get our righteousness meter up, but there's no way he can do it. We can do it because he's already done it for us. And as far as a mission statement, couldn't we look at, I understand missions helping out, but isn't really the great mission the Great Commission?
Absolutely. You bet. That's just what I mentioned here just before you went on the air here. I mentioned that about the Great Commission.
Okay.
That's what it's all about, you know. And what else is there, you know? That ultimately is the crux of every, the matter of every church in the mission.
To put a word on it, proclamation.
Proclamation, yeah. Get
and
the
you
word
know,
out.
You know, we look at different churches and different pastors, and I think sometimes we look at some churches, inner city churches, that have 5, 10, 15 people coming, and then you've got the big mega churches out in the county areas, and I think sometimes we're a little bit disrespectful to the inner city churches, mm-hmm. and I think some of the people that are running the show, so to speak, kind of view their ministries as failures, but mm-hmm. Scripture's very clear when it says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. So,
hey, Larry,
that's a very good point, Larry.
Speaking of that, Larry, yeah. you want to plug a little operation that you and I both know with Pastor David Boies Clair?
Oh, absolutely. You know, David Boies Clair has a church. It's on 3,300 or 3,000 Lucas and Hunt, and he has. They have many issues. One, the roof leaks like heck. So in order to sustain the congregation, which it runs between 10 and 20 people, he has a resell-it shop in his basement. And that provides not only sustenance for the congregation, but basically it's providing sustenance for himself because the money is just not coming into the congregation and doesn't really seem like he can get any help. You know, they have to actually take their hymnals and put them in a room off of the altar area because when it rains, the place gets totally soaked.
Wow.
So,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you go in there, the mold is just, it's so bad. I have contacted someone to try to get him some help over there. Just give just a patchwork, you know. They had a very high estimate on doing
right.
that roof. It's an older church. But, you know Pastor Boies Clair, and I know him, and he's a solid, wonderful Lutheran pastor, and that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, so check out the resale shop. That'd be
and
a good idea.
That's right, and that mission there is just as important to God as is any megachurch mission. It's the same. You
right,
know.
And if you go over there, folks, everything's a dollar.
Oh boy!
You could go over there and buy anything in that shop. It doesn't matter if it's a $50 item or a penny item. It's a dollar. Everything's a dollar.
I would encourage someone to donate a Mercedes.
I'll be first in line.
Hey, Larry, what's the address of that again?
That is on Lucas and Hunt. It's on. It's either 33 or I think it's 3,000. But
okay,
if someone's you can look at it's Faith Lutheran Church. It's in the phone book. It's either 3,000 or 3,300, and they have a vast array of things. And actually, my wife and myself and some other Christian friends have been. I'm kind of like the gopher, but I don't mind doing it. I love doing it,
which is why I mentioned that.
I really respect Pastor Boies Clair. He's a very very knowledgeable pastor, and so are you, Pastor Hawkinson.
Well, thank you.
And
I
so are most of our pastors. That's why we have such a good seminary.
Absolutely. Thank
there
you, Larry.
You
appreciate
thank
the call.
You.
All right.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. And, yeah, bye. And there's an example of Larry using his gift. See that his gift is helping in this mission with Pastor Boies Clair and the people there. If there's 10 or 15... There's 10 or 15. It's wonderful.
When
you know?
Two or three
that's
are gathered
right.
in my name.
And that's just as important to God as $10,000 or $15,000.
Hey, let's get through the rest of this text, because here I was bragging that we have short text today, and we're not even going to get through it. But it's all very edifying, Mark. I appreciate the way you've your approach to this, because some look at Exodus and they just see details.
Right.
Details. Can we get through this and get to something exciting like Jude? Now, this is all about the Sabbath.
That's right.
Do you know much about the Sabbath? You seem like you're always in motion.
Well, it was for the people of Israel only, the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. The example, of course, is that God rested on the seventh day. He worked creation for 6 days, rested on the seventh, and the people of Israel. Keep in mind, there are a lot of foreign nations around Israel, and God wanted to make sure that they were kept pure and separate from these other nations, so that they didn't worship other gods, and also that they would get the necessary rest, because that's what the word Sabbath means. It means rest. And so that they would be able to continue to work mightily and heartily for the Lord. And some pretty tough penalties for individuals that did not honor the Sabbath or did not regard the Sabbath as being important, did not observe the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy. There's that phrase again. That's interesting. Holy to the Lord. Isn't that fascinating? Like on the priest's garment, whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Ouch. Ouch.
Now, you know, that's a way to get your attention.
Yes,
don't you think?
Yeah. I did a little research on this. They'll either be put out of the covenant, or be put out of the camp, which means they'd be out of the faith, kind of like excommunication, the modern equivalent of excommunication, or the worst that would happen is that they would be put to death. So that's God is very serious. This was for Israel only, but there is an application, as you know. You look at Luther's Small Catechism, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thou shalt sanctify the holy day. Sanctify. Word sanctify means to make holy. So there is still a way of observing the third commandment. Of course, in Colossians it says, let no one judge you in terms of moons or special days or Sabbath days, so that it isn't that you have to worship on Saturday, for example. The early Christians, as you know, after the resurrection of Christ, began worshiping on Sunday in honor of the resurrection.
The eighth day, yeah.
Yeah. The church that I'm retired from the parish, so I attend a worship service at Emmanuel in Washington, Missouri. They, in the past, had Monday night services, or Wednesday night services. So it isn't that it has to be on Sunday or on Saturday.
Isn't that the point of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, who says, you worship down in Jerusalem, we worship up here.
They worshiped on Mount Gerizim. Yeah, that's right. And, of course, he had to call her to repent. There's a case where he presented the gospel first and then the law. It was kind of interesting. I can give you living water. And then, go call your husband. Oh, by the way, you've had five of them. Whoops. She goes running into town and say, come see a man that knows all about my life,
it brings to mind the phrase, worshiping in spirit and in truth.
Yes, that's right. Oh, good phrase from that. Yes, that's right. And that's the spirit.
And there's the spirit
of the third commandment.
Exodus
is to do just that. It isn't the letter of the law there, but it's the freedom you have in the gospel. We are not under law, but under grace, and there is a big difference. The law applies. You can spend an hour on that, but we're still under grace.
So, what is it about these Israelites, these Hebrews? Are they just workaholics, or is this maybe a form of greed, coveting more than you should have, so you work 7 days and disrespect the Sabbath day?
Well, to keep that from happening, that's why the Sabbath, God instituted the Sabbath, to keep them humble and to keep them rested, and so that they would have time to worship, and so that,
And he keeps reminding them over and over and over again.
Yeah, people need to be reminded.
Because if you don't remind them, what?
Well, how about Holy Communion? It said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said, we're reminded. You are reminded every time you go to Holy Communion, you receive the true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and also in remembrance. It's kind of like Jesus saying, hey guys, don't forget me.
But Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, I have a question for you. Has God never heard of the Protestant work ethic?
Of course.
Work, 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 work. Be industrious. Sure. Busy bees.
Sure.
We're working for the Lord. Don't rest. Keep moving.
Yeah. See, and
forward, upward, onward.
What happens to somebody that, what's the danger? I have to be careful here because I have a Germanic background and also Norwegian background. I don't know what that makes me, a kind of a half-breed, half-breed Lutheran or whatever. But what's the danger there? See, is there a danger of the Protestant work ethic? I believe there is. Simply because a person can have the arrow of attention inward to the point that you think that somehow or another you are, you know, making a contribution. It's that somehow or another, subconsciously, you may be sort of assisting God. God needs a little bit of help here, so we're going to, you know, all the work. Look at all the work that I've done. You see, it becomes a matter of pride. It also becomes a matter of the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You become your own God. That's another danger of getting involved with the Protestant work ethic. I mean, there's a danger of all the commandments being broken. We break them all every day in thought, if not indeed. And so...
Yeah, I was doing great till I hit that part of Matthew. I was a pretty nice guy till I hit that part of Matthew.
Right. Yeah, that's, all you have to do, the amazing thing about the Holy Scriptures is this. All you have to do is open them up and immediately you know two things. Two things immediately. I'm a sinner. I'm a terrible sinner. Secondly, I have a wonderful Savior. And those are the two things that you may not think you're a terrible sinner, but, you know, there are sins that you don't commit, things you should have done that you didn't do, the sins of omission, and that's in there too. So we are totally dependent upon the grace and mercy of the blood of Christ covering, like that mercy seat. The mercy seat, Christ, covers all of our sin. That's why the Ten Commandments were underneath the mercy seat, you know, like that. Well, God has taken care of that actively and passively. Actively, by keeping the law perfectly, passively, when he stretched out his arms on the cross and died.
Well, how then, you know, we talk about how Christ kept the law perfectly for us. How is it then that when he's walking through the wheat field with the disciples and they start plucking heads of wheat and they start...
Right.
You know, rubbing them in their hands mm-hmm. to get the husks off so they can eat these. Mm-hmm. Well, that's work, isn't it? He was working on this. How did he fulfill the law if he was working on the Sabbath?
Well, there were exceptions. The exception was if somebody were ill or sick and they needed healing, or if there was something that needed to, in the case of hunger or something like that, there were those exceptions on the Sabbath. And, you know, Jesus used that example. Who of you, if you have a donkey that's or a mule, that wouldn't you pull it out, you know, this kind of thing? You know, sure,
yeah,
you would.
True,
I mean,
true.
That's obviously you would. So you do what you have to do, but that's not breaking the Sabbath. And again, you know, I've mowed my lawn on Sunday afternoon sometimes, you know. You know, the thing is, I try not to do that simply out of respect for the Lord's Day, but if it's only time I have, I'll do it, provided that I have taken time to worship or time for the Lord already. You don't want anything to substitute or get in the way of your worship of God.
For who is the Sabbath made?
The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you get that backwards?
Well, then you're in trouble.
You're a Pharisee, huh?
Then you're a Pharisee. That's right. That's kind of the point. That's where they were, and that's how Jesus had to talk to them. That, you know, they didn't understand spiritual things because their hearts were hardened. And that's not that there weren't any Pharisees saved, but I'm saying that, generally speaking, their pride and arrogance, they wore these phylacteries around their forehead, you know, the sections of Scripture that to show off their knowledge and everything. And the Lord certainly had a way of humbling them. He called them whitewashed tombs, you know. And that certainly put them in their place.
So is it an error, Pastor Hawkinson, to assume that work is a form of worship?
Is it an error? Well, you're, in a certain sense, your whole life is everything that you do, you want to be dedicated to God. Everything isn't, but that would be the, you know, what you would want. And that would include what? Your work, your vocation, the things that you do, you would want that dedicated to God, of course. And that's the way I look at it.
The reason I ask is it seems to be growing in popularity right now, predominantly among non-denominational, the larger churches like Saddleback out in California.
That's a biggie.
Where they cancel worship for a Sunday and they go out and they do work.
No, I wouldn't be for that.
And they see this as a form of worship.
No, right? I wouldn't be for that. No. I mean, I think we're talking about two different things here. One, I'm just simply saying that your whole life you're dedicating to God. But work is not worship. However, when you're in the worship service, it does take work. You know, you're singing the hymns. The thing is, what I don't like to see, and I get a different picture of things when I sit in the pew and I'm not up preaching. You know, I do KFUO Sundays, by the way. Anybody that wants a KFUO Sunday,
call Joni here at the station.
Call Joni, and we'll get that taken care of for you. But sitting in the pew, sometimes I get beside a person who I know can sing if they really want to. They just don't feel like it. They just open their hymnals and sit there. That's what I'm saying. Worship, I call it worship. Worship. You're doing something. You're active. You do the responses in the liturgy. You know, the versicles and responses. You're not just sitting there. That's why I think it's good that in a Lutheran church we have people stand up, and I think that's good. It gets the blood circulating if you can. If you don't, if you're handicapped and you can't, stand up inside. You know, stand up inside, maybe in your heart, for the Lord. And applaud him for his mercy and give him thanks and praise for all his work, because he's the one who did the work. He did all the work for your salvation. It's complete at the mercy seat, ironically, the mercy seat, and Jesus is that mercy seat. So
But you shouldn't be distracted by the work. Like with the temple, with all this extraordinary craftsmanship and the gold and the silver and the bronze, the focus.
That's true. And again, I think that's why God instituted the Sabbath, is to prevent that from happening in the first place, so that they wouldn't. Because once they're rested and they've had time to sanctify the holy day, they're gonna be in a better position to get back in the saddle again.
And that is why Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Lutherans especially, you know, that German where you talk about your German Scandinavian background,
yes.
Gottesdienst.
Oh, yes, I've heard that term.
We are not working, because if we work, the focus is on us. But if we worship, the focus is on
God. God. All of our attention is directed toward God.
God comes to serve us. We are not there.
That's right. And worship is a response. It's a response to, you know, you're giving God thanks. And if your thanksgiving is just sitting there like, how long is this service going to be? You talked about time. You talked about time. And I have been in parishes where, the joke is that, the one of the elders comes up to the pulpit while the pastor is still preaching, and the note says, "Pastor, when you're finished, would you please turn off the lights and lock the doors?" You know, I mean, that's
now look. you remind me of a moment where my people doth vex me so, where you came to my congregation and it was a Saturday night.
Okay, I talked too long.
No,
one
you
night.
Didn't. You
oh,
did
okay.
fine.
Oh, okay.
But the closing hymn was slated to be two verses.
Oh yes,
I remember that. And you said you got up and you said, "This is such a beautiful hymn. Let us sing all six verses."
Uh-oh.
And my people who doth vex me so, there was an audible groan that went out from the entire congregation.
Oh boy! Now I will say. Yes, if I had that to
but
do.
But it was a glorious hymn. I mean, shame on us for being that way.
Yeah, I will say now at Emmanuel Washington, where I worship now, we always sing all the verses of the hymns, always, every time. The reason is, look at the text. Look at the text of the verses. It's so powerful, and it's so comforting. It's so important. That's how I feel about it. Let's not get the service over as fast as we can, but you don't want to drag it out either.
Now, if you're willing to go into the dangerous waters of a service that may run 10 minutes longer than it normally does, contact Joni Harwell here at KFUO Radio and invite Mark Hawkins and Pastor Hawkins.
We'll keep the time down. Don't worry.
Pastor Mark Hawkins and Moments of Assurance.
Thank you,
the program
sir. Follows
the second hour of the Bible study at noon every day, and then short format on Sunday mornings as you go off to worship. Thank you so much. It's always
thanks
fun
for the
to
plug.
Have you around.
Thanks for the plug. Appreciate
Don't
it.
Don't forget, KFUO Sundays. Check
Thank
it out.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Joni Harwell here at the station. We'll be right back with Ask the Pastor. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, common challenges that fathers face. How are you doing leading your family? Why you need a messy marriage? And protecting girls and women in today's sexualized culture. Learn more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. The housing industry is showing real signs of life, says one economist. The latest evidence? Americans are signing more contracts to buy homes, according to the real estate industry. May's number matches the number from March, and they show that we are signing deals to buy existing homes faster than at any time in the past 2 years. Many people in Colorado Springs are worried about their homes, but authorities say it's too dangerous to try to find out how many houses have been destroyed by a wildfire. 32,000 people have been forced out of their homes, including cadets at the U.S. Air Force Academy. This is Colorado Springs Mayor Steve Bach.
This is a very difficult time in our city, but we will get through this together and we will be stronger because of this experience. And we need to keep in our minds and our hearts all those people who have been impacted by this fire.
The fire doubled in size overnight to about 24 square miles. It's rain that's causing problems for those in parts of Florida, and although Debbie's been downgraded to a tropical depression, she's still causing headaches. Our Tony Winton's in Miami.
The sun is out in much of Florida, but although Debbie is pulling away, forecasters say there's still an inland flooding threat. National Weather Service forecaster Kelly Godsey says the tremendous rainfall can affect rivers days later.
Rivers like the Suwannee, we may be looking at the potential for flooding down the Suwannee as you go toward the Gulf of Mexico for about the next week to 10 days.
Water in some communities rose to rooftop level. Debbie dumped 26 inches of water in some places. Tony Winton, Miami.
Very soon now, we should see the new Google small tablet. We think it'll sell for about $199. The talk is it's got a 7-inch screen just like the Kindle Fire. And if you've got a kid in college, House Speaker Boehner says Congress is near an agreement that would prevent some student loan interest rates from doubling. This is AP